jokes. That's really what we've gotten down to on this podcast. Like, you're making me feel like I'm the young one on the podcast now. Oh!
Yeah, that hurts.
Oh! Weisenberg watching the stream!
It's time to fade the chalk.
Fade the chalk.
Presented by the FTN Network, helping you win your fantasy leagues and dominate in DFS. And now, here are your hosts, Derek Brown and Adam Pfeiffer.
What's going on, everyone? This is a special edition of Fade the Chalk. We're switching things up today. We got the video rocking, the stream is rocking, and we got a special guest up in the house. So before we kind of get this rolling, man, and this draft is about to kick off, we're going to be doing a live underdog basketball draft. Adam, what's up, man?
It's exciting. We got Jay Rich in here. We got a bunch of familiar faces in the draft right now. So, yeah, we got to be careful, though, because you're on the clock. So, kind of tough to go through everything. We're doing it live at the same time, but it's going to be fun. I'm glad to have Jay Rich on, too.
It's going to be baller, man. Yeah, so welcome. I mean, Jay Rich, like, I mean, I don't think you need an introduction, but here we are. This is what's up. How are you doing, my friend? Welcome to the show.
I'm good, man. You got 9 seconds, so you better hurry up. You know, we saw CMC go off the board first. I'm happy to be here, you know. Finally, I got you guys on video. I know you guys don't really do the whole video thing, but we're here for the people. We're streaming live. It's going to be a lot of fun. And Jordan, you better not mess up this pick, because if you do, I'm going to call you out in the chat live. Ooh, Derrick Henry, 103. How you feel about that?
I mean, look, I'm not really here for it, but I don't know what your thoughts are for Henry. Flipping this over so everybody can see our screens here. I went Dalvin Cook, man. I mean, he's the lock number 102. Adam, what are your thoughts? I know you haven't been too much into the big dog so far this offseason.
Henry? Yeah, I'm fine with Henry. It's just...
At 103? Like not your man's?
Yeah, I mean, I'm taking Zeke at the 103, but we talked a lot about when we do these drafts and Mets takes Zeke before me. I'm in between Mets and Kweisenberg, so this should be really fun. The 106, I'm going to take Barkley because
spicy.
I haven't drafted Barkley much. And that's what I was kind of getting to. Like, yeah, like the 103 just in general, like I have Zeke as my third ranked player in fantasy, so I'm going to take him at the 103. But in these underdog drafts, like you want to differentiate a lot. So, you know, don't always have to take him there. So, yeah, if you want to get Derrick Henry, like, it's to the point where after McCaffrey and Dalvin Cook, it's a really a toss up between who you think is next anyway. So, but Jay Rich on the clock here, what, the 109? Who are you looking at?
This is ugly, man. I'm just going to take one of my favorite running backs in the league, Jonathan Taylor for the Colts. You know, great offensive line, new quarterback, hopefully a slightly different system. Year two, we saw what he did in the second half of the season. He should be fine. I'm sure that people look in other ways. Yeah, like Eckler, you see going the first a lot. We saw Clue take him. Diggs, I'm okay with that, but now we got Wilde on the turn. See what happens there.
Real quick.
Man, this is going to be an interesting draft for him. I just got to throw that out there.
It's going to be a good one. Real quick, before we, you know, while we're not picking, I mean, Jay Rich is going to pick in a second, but Jordan, I mean, we haven't had you on the pod yet. Talk about everything you're doing at FTN. You're doing a ton of the video stuff. You did the promo for FTN Data recently, which was dope. Producing a lot of the shows. Like I have annoyed Jordan more times than I can count for audio and video and technical stuff. So the fact that he agreed to do the podcast still is that, you know, I love Jay Rich. I'm glad he's here. But talk about what you're doing at FTN.
So right now, FTN, there's a few things going on behind the scenes that we're not ready to announce yet, but they should be coming very, very soon. I do a lot of the promo work. Now I'm back on the clock and I'm looking, at Gibson, Jones. I got to go running back here, Clyde. I think I'm going to go with Gibson because I really love the upside. I think Ron Rivera took him for a reason. I think he's going to get more involved in the passing game. We're not going to see J.D. McKissic get like 100 targets like we saw this year. Gibson should see more. Samuel will be used, but I love Gibson in this role for the football team this year.
Love that pick. I think the ceiling is definitively there. Like if you're going hero RB, I'm totally fine if you like got one of those late first picks and you want to go with Gibson at that spot, because the guy's got, I mean, what, top five? He's got we can make really easy arguments that he's got RB1 overall upside this season. But Adam, who are you looking at? Who's on the short list here for you since you're on the clock here?
Yeah, I actually was thinking about taking Adams, because the more this goes on, the more I think Rodgers does play in Green Bay this year, and it's going to get to the point where Adams would have been like the 105 in a lot of these drafts. So I'm going to do what I've been doing a lot. I have an article coming out about him tomorrow at FTN Fantasy. I'm going to take Clyde Edwards-Helaire to 207. I just think, like, there's so much to like about him as a kind of like a post-hype sleeper, or more of a post-hype breakout, I guess. But the offensive line was massively revamped. And, I mean, we have so much of that new data at FTN where you look last year, the Chiefs, and it's not too surprising, but the Chiefs faced the fewest the fewest running plays with seven or more defenders in the box last year. It's not too surprising given the offense, but you add the fact that I think he's going to run more routes and be more involved in the 2-minute drill and stuff because he's going to have a full offseason under his belt. So I think top 10 is where I have him, and that potential is massively there. So I was going to take Adams, but he wasn't there, so I went Clyde.
So CEH is one of my favorite targets. I think that, like, if you wouldn't have been in this draft, I would have taken him, although I know he probably wasn't going to get to me. I'm actually going to go with a guy that I have not gotten a lot of exposure to. I'm going to go DK Metcalf here.
I'm warming up to that stack, too. It's because if you get that stack, like, whether it's just Metcalf or you get Metcalf and Lockett, or we talked about it, getting, like, Gerald Everett super late, like, and Seattle does finally unleash that passing attack and let Russ throw 40 times, like, that upside is just stupid, right? Like, it matches almost anyone. So,
I think I've definitely been warming up more to Seattle. You and I have talked about this on the podcast a lot. I think that there's a possibility they do allow him to pass and pass a ton this year. So I went with DK Metcalf. Then I was staring at Michael Thomas. My dude B-Saw went with him, unfortunately. But I decided to start with, I got Dalvin Cook, DK Metcalf, and George Kittle. So a few outs here. Then we see Justin Jefferson go off the board, Keenan Allen, Amari Cooper to Mets. Adam, who are you staring at here?
It's between Terry McLaurin and Allen Robinson, who I'm really high on. I'm going to take McLaurin just because I think there's a little bit more. Like, we know Robinson's going to be great every year, no matter what. But with McLaurin entering his third year, and I just wrote about him in my ADP series, like, he can absolutely just have, like, a 95, 1,300. If the touchdowns go up, he could be massive. So I'm going to take the upside with McLaurin, and Jordan's on the clock now with his third selection.
Man, I'm really pissed. I just got sniped on DeAndre Swift. I did not. I was hoping, man, but I really liked your point about Allen Robinson, and obviously having Justin Fields now on Chicago should make a big difference. So I'm going to take Allen Robinson with my pick, but I was really hoping Swift would fall. That's just really disappointing. Really, really disappointing.
I mean, obviously I'm trying to swag up today. I got my Justin Fields shirt on, so I'm a little bit.
Oh, you got the shirt. I forgot.
Damn. I told you. We talked about this with Daigle a few weeks ago.
I know. I forgot that you actually got it, though.
I need that. I need it in my life, man.
That shirt is so dope.
Dude, I love the Chicago passing attack. Whether you want to go Justin Fields, Allen Robinson, or there's guys later, we've discussed on the podcast a ton. As soon as Justin Fields gets under center, I think that there's a ton of equity to be had for Chicago. Komet is going way too late. Nobody's factoring in his upside. But, I mean, come on. I'll let Jordan talk about this some more. I mean, you went with Allen Robinson. What are your thoughts on him for the Bears this year? Like, do you think that, like, this could be a really high-scoring offense and surprise some people? Or, I mean, how are you feeling about it, Jay Rich?
I feel iffy on it. I don't think I'm as optimistic as some people are, but what I would say is that we've seen what they can do with virtually no pass game or no consistent passing game. I still think they're going to lean on the run, though. I don't think they're going to completely change their philosophy altogether, but A-Rob got peppered with targets, and they were bad targets for the most part. So if you put in a more accurate quarterback who has the threat to run, a more improved offense from a running perspective, David Montgomery takes another step forward. I think there's a lot of things that can open up for Allen Robinson that just haven't been there for him in the past. Now I'm back on the clock. I'm going to take with supremely high upside.
Don't do Mr. it.
Mr.
Oh,
DJ
my,
Moore
he did it.
Oh, out of Carolina. I had to do it. Moore was at 1,200 yards in his past two seasons. He's had five different quarterbacks. The upside is tremendous. We were on him last year. We're back on him this year. Love DJ Moore this year, even with Sam Darnold.
You know who
Joe
else loves
Brady
DJ Moore
offense.
This year? Me. So thanks.
Hi. Welcome to the family. Me too.
Appreciate
no problem.
That. All right.
I mean, he's basically the poster boy for FTN. I don't think, at least in the Slack, I don't have not heard any disparaging words against DJ Moore up to this point. But Adam, I mean, the floor is yours, my friend. Kind of talk about him. What do you think about him for this year?
Yeah, well, first I'm going to take Robert Woods. because I'm on the clock. But yeah, I mean, I just love the upside. Like, the touchdowns haven't been there for his career, and if that finally improves, like you talk about, he's going to have well over 1,000 yards. He's going to catch 85 to 90 balls, and I think he's going to be used in a better way this year, because last year he was, you know, strictly a deep threat, but, you know, less than a 30% slot rate with Terrace Marshall joining the team. Like, I think they can play him out wide more, which will let DJ Moore play in the slot more, where he's great because he's so good after the catch too. So I have DJ Moore ahead of a lot of receivers that, like, went before him in this draft and go before him in a lot of drafts. So I was hoping he would make it back to me, but it wasn't the case. But I'll take Robert Woods at the 407, and Kupp goes right after him to Mets. So Debro's probably not happy. I'm sure he wanted Cooper Kupp.
Nope, I'm not too happy about that. Big fan of Cooper Kupp this year, and hoping to get this pick in here. Again, I'm going to diversify. I'm going with a player that I don't have a lot of, considering where he's been going in drafts. Going with Ja'Marr Chase here. I was looking at Lamar Jackson. Got sniped. Thanks, Jordan. Love you. Appreciate you. He went with T. Higgins. I was just looking at him. I was hoping to get the double stack, but apparently it ain't going to happen. Too many sharp people in this room.
Yeah, that's tough. So I was looking at Higgins there too, man. That would have been a dope pick.
I'm going to veer here. You know what? No, we're just going to lean in a little bit more, and hopefully I don't get freaking sniped yet again. I'm going to go Brandon Ayuk here and go some more lean into SF here.
Okay, so yeah, that I was going to say, because I forgot you took Kittle, and we've talked, mm-hmm. like, you and I both aren't as high on Ayuk as a lot of other people in the industry are, so that was that more of a get some exposure to Ayuk because you don't have a ton and you have Kittle? Or because I haven't seen you take Ayuk. Oh, damn it, Mets.
This is the problem.
That's what happens when we
put something out on Twitter, man. Like, good Lord. The snipes and the pain are real, my friend. But
yeah. It's like, damn, Ayuk people pick, yes. Read my tweets? Crazy. Ayuk is awesome. DJ, that's my other guy, man. Deontay Johnson just going to get peppered this year again. One of my favorite players to watch. People talk about the drops. Drops are overrated, people. Don't focus on that kind of stuff.
The biggest chalk pick ever. Adam goes to the Bills.
It's not. I haven't taken Josh Allen in a lot of these, but the fact that Deontay went, and I'm not like, I'm still not in love with Kenny Galladay, Odell Beckham. I have no clue what to expect. I just decided, you know what, we're in the middle of the fifth round. Wouldn't be able to get, I don't think, Kyler or Josh Allen on my next pick. So I'll just take Josh Allen. We obviously know what the upside is, the rushing touchdowns, everything like that. So,
I mean, a lot of players that I love right now, I mean, going off the board with, you want to talk about Deontay, massively into Claypool this year. Kyler Murray, I've drafted him everywhere so far. Oh, good pick, Jay Rich. You went with Prescott. Talk about him for a second here.
That's my MVP pick for the year, man. If there's love one it. Player that I think is going to come back with a vengeance, it's Dak Prescott. And to get him here, I think it's decent value. Obviously, you know, I wanted to try to get the stack. I believe Amari Cooper already went off the board. So that kind of sucks, but love Dak this year. Like, the Cowboys are going to be on a revenge tour, and I think they're going to run away with the NFC East.
Well, don't talk to Michael Gallup, or at least about him in front of Adam, because he hates that man.
I don't. I just like Antonio Brown.
It's on the podcast. You can't run away from it now. It's out there, man. Like,
I said I prefer Antonio Brown. Gallup's
Jay
dope,
Rich,
man.
Your thoughts? Adam has had plenty of time to talk about, like, an aging receiver who's going to play about 60% of the snaps. Where do you sit? Antonio Brown or Michael Gallup? And please don't hurt my heart here.
And Antonio, I got to take Antonio Brown, man. Are you crazy?
Let's go. Right.
Come on. No. Come on. No, that's not how this goes.
Okay. David,
you got 10 seconds, by the way.
That is not a comparison. No. So that is not a comparison.
This is not how this goes,
so,
man.
Do you not remember when Antonio Brown was the wide receiver one, like, overall for multiple seasons?
What was that, so, like 3 years ago? Are we talking about that now? But to think
that he lost that, like, to where he's all the way down to Michael Gallup level, nah. Like, that's not happening, man. Ooh. He's still one of the best separators in the league. I love Gallup. I think he's a great player. I think he's a great deep ball threat. I think he's an excellent ball tracker, and that's where he's underrated. If Dak hits him deep, he's great. But, man, to say that he's better than Antonio Brown, even in fantasy, you compare the offenses, they're going to be similar. High volume passing games, lots of scoring, lots of touchdowns. But I think I would still take Brown. Like, Brown looked great down the stretch. Gallup, very inconsistent. But in best ball, I could see why you may want Gallup.
I can't go with a player that I think is going to be playing 60% of the snaps. His biggest games came when Godwin or Mike Evans were hurt. I get it. I mean, if you want to go with old and dusty, that's all you, man. But I got to go with the younger player here. Adam, you went to Devonta Smith. Are you going to be going after my man's? It has to be thrown out there in the space now.
I mean, I already have Josh Allen, but, like, I still could. But, like, for me, it was I want to get more Devonta Smith because I think we're still kind of underrating how many targets he can see, especially if this Eagles passing offense kind of opens up more, which I expect to happen. Like, I think he has a very good chance to outscore Jamar Chase, and he's going way later. I understand Jamar Chase, for most people, was the better prospect coming out, but, like, Devonta Smith's competing with Dallas Goedert for targets, and that's it. So, you know, I like the upside there as my number three receiver.
Well, Jordan called it out on Twitter. He sniped me on Trey Sermon. I was definitely looking at him here. But, I mean, you know, I've got enough San Francisco 49ers, so that might be, honestly, just a thank you, Jordan. Stacked up Russell Wilson with DK Metcalf. I don't have a lot of DK just because of where he's been going in draft. So, again, I am buying more into this Seattle passing attack. I was hoping to get Lockett a little bit earlier and just go mega stack, but it didn't happen. Now up on the clock, am I a fraud if I don't pick Michael Gallup at this spot? Does that make me a total fraud?
No, you're just not smart because there's better players on the board.
Oh, well, I'm just going to lean into being a dummy then, Adam. I'm going with my dude.
In all seriousness, I don't like Gallup. Hawkinson at the 703, I was looking at him. That's really late for Hawkinson. He usually goes late fifth, sixth round. And I was kind of surprised to see him there in the early seventh. So I was definitely looking at him.
Yeah, but in that Kittle, I was looking at him too. And then I was like, oh, wait, I already paid up for Kittle. Not going to a
all right, dude. Tight end. Like, Mets, I'm done. I'm done drafting the Mets. Like, whatever.
Taking all your guys.
But Juju is so undervalued right now. I don't get it. Like, he's just going to catch 90 passes again. So that makes this decision pretty easy for me. I'm going to go with Mike Williams.
Okay.
I'm so high on Mike Williams. I think he puts it together this year.
So far, you got what? Josh Allen, Saquon, CEH, Terry McLaurin, Robert Woods, Devonta Smith, and Mike Williams. I know you've talked about Mike Williams a lot. His ADP, like, he has been skyrocketing. Like, he's in the 70s now.
Yeah.
It's like 2 weeks ago, he was in the 100s. Jay Rich, I heard you were surprised by that pick. What are your thoughts on him for this year? Are you a little bit lower than Adam?
No, I like him, but I do think the price is starting to get a little bit expensive. You know, like, I get why people wanted to take the shot on Mike Williams. The touchdowns were kind of weird last year, and he has that frame. It doesn't make sense why they weren't there, but I think he's going a little bit high, and so I'm going to lean into this Washington football team offense here and take Curtis Samuel.
Like that.
Because I just think there could be a potential here for him to really explode. Like, he's just a player who's so versatile, and we've seen what he can do, whether it's in college, all the way to the NFL. Again, this is best ball, so his boom game should be really high, and that's why I like him. If he starts to get some of that running involved, some rushing touchdowns, receiving touchdowns, I like Samuel a lot.
Yeah, I like Samuel a lot, too. I think that offense, there are easy ways, like if you wanted to go Terry McLaurin and Antonio Gibson, there are easy ways to kind of garner a lot of this passing offense or a lot of the touchdowns possibly out of this offense just by picking two of these guys, and if you get them right. I love, I wrote about this over at FTN Fantasy, but right now, like, one of my cheat codes for these bigger tournaments is approaching Washington and Philly. They're the only two teams in the NFL right now that play each other twice in the playoff format over on underdog. So the correlation that you're getting if you go Antonio Gibson, one of these pass catchers and stuff, like, say you get Antonio Gibson and Dallas Goedert, having that type of correlation when you get to these playoff weeks, I think is going to be fantastic. And that's just such an easy one to do. If these teams are good on offense, or Washington is just boat racing them, and like Philly's got to play catch up because we know Philly's defense is going to, again, be absolutely terrible. Jay Rich, tell me about James Robinson here, because I don't hate him. I've actually kind of come around on him since I wrote up the Jaguars for the site. I think he's going to get some touchdowns. What do you think about his outlook for this year? Oh, Kweisenberg, damn it.
Oh, look at you, Adam. I was looking at Mooney there. I thought, you know, maybe he'd slip a little bit. So I like that pick. But to go back to James Robinson, I think people have still gone a little bit too far. And I think I reached for him a little bit there. But you talk about a player, a guy who's going to be completely impossible to figure out. It's going to be Urban Meyer. He is not going to be consistent week to week in who he uses. It'll be like a weird hot hand approach. And again, in this format, James Robinson will have a couple 2-touchdown games. I think he'll be used a lot. He'll be primarily a runner, so he's not going to have a super high floor, but I think he's still going to be used a lot. Like, they're going to find ways to get Etienne involved in the passing game. And I just think that Urban Meyer is one of those guys that, like, you try and get a few pieces of the offense because you don't know when they're going to explode. But in redraft, it's going to be impossible to know when to start these guys from the top of the list all the way down to the bottom. I think the running backs will be fine, but the wide receivers are the guys that I'm really worried about overall.
Chase, okay. I've discussed that I don't like Chase Edmonds this year, but 8-11
value.
8-11 is late for Chase
Edmonds.
He's
falling down the board. I think that, look, it's not that I'm trying to, like, fall into all these beat reports and stuff like that.
And he's your second running back, right?
He's my second running back behind Dalvin. I'm going to go ahead and lock this up right now. I'm going to go Trey Lance. I'm not playing around with this.
Yeah, that's fun.
There you go.
That's very fun. But yeah, Jordan, like, Darnell Mooney is like I'm planting my flag this year. Like, he's like my wide receiver 38. Like, I'm insanely high on him.
Your flag is planted so damn deep, you might strike oil with that one. you've been talking about him and drafting him everywhere, which I get
He's very talented to separate like he did against really good corners. Like, he did it against Rams. He did it against the Bucks. Like, and now you're getting an upgrade at quarterback with somebody who can actually throw the deep ball. Like, I'm just all in on Darnell Mooney. I love him. I'm on the clock here. I'm going to not purposely double dip with the Eagles, but 906 for Dallas Goedert, who I'm still really high on when I don't have a tight end either. I mean, yeah, give me that all day for Dallas Goedert.
Well, we talked about this week, Adam. Like, I mean, look, as soon as anything happens to Zach Ertz, he's not going to be here. He's not going to be in the 7th to 9th round.
Like, I mean, he shouldn't be in the 9th round if Zach Ertz is there anyway. You know, like, what I mean? Like, he shouldn't be there regardless.
As soon as anything happens to Ertz, he's flying up to the 5th. He's going to be right next to Hockenson and Andrews. So, like, for me, I think you take the discount while you can still get it, because it's going to go away. Definitely going to go away.
I just noticed Kweisenberg has a little Chiefs stack. He's got Kelce, Mahomes, and Mecole. Could be pretty fun.
Ooh, Elijah Moore.
Couldn't leave the draft without getting my guy. This year, I say I'm 50-50, but I love Elijah Moore. Like, and especially when you talk about a guy who camp reports for Elijah Moore have been insane. Like, every day there's something about Elijah Moore, how he's one of the first players in the room every day, working really hard, showing out in practices. Zach Wilson loves him. Like, there's just a lot of reasons why we should like him. And on top of that, he's just a guy who dominated in college, had as many yards as Devonta Smith almost on a per game basis. Like, just disgusting. Now I'm back on the clock, and do I want to go? Oh, man, this is the pick that I hate to make. But in the format, I love it, taking Marvin Jones out of Jacksonville. I just had to take him. I had to take him because we know he's going to have that game, that one game, that two games. That's why I got to have Marvin Jones on my roster, because he's going to have those games. And, yeah, sorry, Adam, if I'm taking your guys.
If it wasn't you, it had to be Mets. One of y'all had to get Marv.
I know you love Marv, but it's, you know, you got my guy in Darnell Mooney, so now we're even.
Yeah, listen, Marv's the GOAT. Just leave
Adam's,
it at that.
Because we're live, Adam's just trying not to cry on stream. I mean, come on, we can just put it out there. This is a safe space, man. It's a safe space.
It's okay.
So Marv was definitely on my radar. And it's like, we're still at the point where it's like the running backs, like, I could take James Conner, but I, like, the Bills are, if you have Josh Allen, it's tough, because it's tough to get, well, it's not tough, but, like, I didn't get Diggs and Allen, but I'm going to get some of that upside and take Gabe Davis, who I obviously love it anyway. He, you know, a lot of the, if Josh Allen's throwing the ball deep in this offense, a lot of them are going to be to Gabe Davis, like we saw last year. He led the team in deep targets. He led the team in yards per target. Led the team in end zone targets. Again, he's not going to lead the team in end zone targets again, I would say, but we know what the upside is. I don't care about Cole Beasley or Emmanuel Sanders being there, because the Bills are going to run four wide as much as any team in the league outside of maybe Arizona. So I'll just keep loading up on receivers and get a little bit of upside with Gabe Davis pairing with Josh Allen.
I mean, I like the call. Then we see James Conner go off the board. Are you going to go with that late double stack, Adam? Not to give this away, but I mean, it's got to be talked about. You going to try to get Manny up and play some late, ceiling weeks with Josh Allen?
Yeah, that's definitely on my radar because the Bills, I don't care what anybody's saying. They're going to throw the football a ton. I don't care about them wanting to bounce. Like, ooh. Brian Daboll doesn't care.
I see you, D-Bro. How you feeling? How you feeling about Rondell?
I love Rondell this year. We've talked about him Love him, man. So the reason that Adam and I have discussed, like, in his worries about Chase Edmonds is those short area targets. I mean, I'm kind of, like, double stacking short area targets. The horizontal raid for Arizona here got Chase Edmonds and Rondell. Could they cancel each other out? Sure. Could they also alternate massive spike weeks, considering how this offense could look at? I mean, I'm in for it, man. I mean, I think that this team is definitely going to surprise some people. I love Kyler. I've gone back and forth all offseason about, like, who's going to be my guy as far as, like, and I'm going to go down here because I'm going to, and we'll call this a little bit of a reach, but I'm going to go ahead and knock this out. I'm going to get Gerald Everett up here on the squad. But with Rondell, I think the ceiling's definitively there. I think that he can cut into routes and earn more of this team's passing volume as the season goes on. AJ Green is dust. We should know that. We've seen that. He wasn't good in Cincinnati. I guess I'll flip this back to you, Jay Rich. Like, what are your thoughts for Arizona? Do you like Rondell as much as I do this year?
I like Rondell a lot, but I would openly ask anyone the question, why isn't Rondell Moore a better Chase Edmonds? Like, just why? If you were to tell me, you just put Rondell Moore in the backfield. Sometimes he runs the ball. Sometimes he just runs this little swing route. Like, I think he could do all the things that Chase Edmonds does well, other than maybe block. But I don't think, like, I don't know if you guys have seen the blocking on Chase Edmonds. I doubt he's the best blocker. He's probably capable. But you still have Kyler back there. If he needs to run away from someone, he can do that. But I just think Rondell could be really, really good. And like you talk about for the format, he's got upside, like, for days. And he can still go deep on someone. So I like the pick a lot, especially this late.
Yeah, I mean, I think his upside is definitively there. I mean, if we think that this team is going to pass a ton and there's going to be spike weeks to be had, I've talked about it on the podcast. Like, look, like, I think it's definitely viable to go Kyler and then just instead of, like, paying up for DeAndre, if you want to garner another large part of a high, potent, powerful offense in the NFL, if you instead of going DeAndre, if you want to go Calvin Ridley or whoever you want to put your chips in as far as, like, possibly a top five wide receiver, and just double stack Kyler late with Rondell and Kirk, I think that it's definitely viable.
Troutman.
Yes! Talk to me about Troutman.
I like Troutman a lot, but I'm really pissed that Adam took Justin Fields because I was going to take him there with my next pick.
I had to get the two best quarterbacks in the NFL, and I have them now, Josh Allen and Justin Fields. So just I'm good to go.
Stack busting all over the place, Adam.
Oh, man. But yeah,
I got Mooney.
Mooney. That's fine. That's fine. Whatever. You know, you took my guy, but that's okay. Back to Troutman, though. The thing, like, people talk about with Troutman is that he's going to be on the field a lot. He was, I believe, one of the best blocking tight ends per PFF.
I think he was literally graded as the best run blocker. Yeah.
Yeah. And if you actually check his snaps, like, he did see a significant snap share at the end of the year into the playoffs. Like, there's a lot of reasons beyond the production to like what he did last year. And I'm going to have to take another tight end. So I'm going to take Robert Tonyan for the upside in the touchdowns. This late, you know, with Rodgers, like we talked about, probably going to play. I think there's a lot of upside for Tonyan. But Troutman, you know, it's Michael Thomas, it's Alvin Kamara, and probably 300 other targets that need to be figured out. Why can't 70 to 80 go to Troutman?
They love him, too. So, like, New Orleans loves him. So,
I'm all in on Troutman. I mean,
elite first name, too, by the way. Absolutely elite first name.
Oh, good Lord. Are we playing name jokes? That's really what we've gotten down to on this podcast. Like, you're making me feel like I'm the young one on the podcast now.
Yeah, that hurts.
Oh, Weisenberg watching the stream.
That one hurts.
Weisenberg chose violence today.
You love to see it. Dude, just grabbing violence coffins and grabbing bodies. I got to pull up his team now before Adam picks. Patrick Mahomes, Aaron Rodgers, Javonte Williams, Michael Carter. Yeah, that pick hurt. Davante Adams, Chris Godwin, Chase Claypool, Visca, Mecole, Manny. Like, Weisenberg's got a squad here, man. I mean, somebody must have told him somewhere in the space that this isn't the NBA because I love his team so far.
Yeah. Manny Sanders is definitely on my radar, but I barely got the pick into. I went Jamal Williams, no surprise. He's going to have some weeks. I mean, Anthony Lynn likes to use multiple running backs. They've already talked Jamal Williams up. He's a very good pass catcher. And it's like, Everybody's talking about the Lions if they're playing from behind, how DeAndre Swift's going to get all the catches, but like Jamal Williams isn't going to not play when they're playing behind. Like it's not like a situation where it's if Derrick Henry would have to play from behind, he'd be off the field. Like Jamal Williams is kind of game script independent. Obviously, DeAndre Swift's a more talented running back, but that hasn't stopped Jamal Williams from getting 10 to 12 touches a game in the past. So I'll take him in the 12th round or whatever it was.
I mean, I like that. So I went Traquan Smith back on the clock here and kind of looking at like some of these running back values are starting to make sense, man. I know that Josh Jacobs is getting all the pub out on Twitter of people saying he's such a great value. I think that they're still sleeping on how much of a role Kenyon Drake is going to have in this backfield. And it's like, oh, he's the poor man's Nick Chubb. And I'm like, I mean, to me, it's being a little bit generous depending on what the volume looks like. I think that that's also talking a little bit, sliding Kenyon Drake a little bit too much on the rushing equity that he could steal. Like, I'm like, oh, he's just going to take the carries of Devontae Booker. And I'm like, okay, but Kenyon Drake, if he's better than Devontae Booker, can he earn more than what Devontae Booker had last year? Yeah. I mean, he's a grinder back we saw in Arizona. But now the Raiders sign him and they're saying, okay, you're a better passing down back than Josh Jacobs. So can he be a grinder? Yes. Can he also earn more of the pass game role? I mean, that's what they're telling us here. But Jay Rich, what are your thoughts on Kenyon Drake and that Raiders backfield right now?
I like him a lot. Like, I think what we saw last season is that the Raiders need more playmakers, no matter how we slice it. They can run the ball down people's throats in some games, but in games where they're behind, they're going to need someone who can catch the ball to the backfield. And we saw Jalen Richard had a bit of a role, but Kenyon Drake's really do that a lot better, and he's more versatile from a back perspective. For whatever reason, Josh Jacobs is not going to be the guy in the receiving game. Why can't it be Kenyon Drake?
That's kind of where I sit right now, man. So while Adam is I think he's going to be on the clock here next. Or no, it's back to you. Tell, kind of walk us through your team so far, Jordan. Tell me how the squad's looking.
Man, the stacks aren't going well. So I'm starting with Dak Prescott, Ryan Fitzpatrick at quarterback. I got Jonathan Taylor, Antonio Gibson, Josh Jacobs, and James Robinson at running back. Allen Robinson, DJ Moore, Curtis Samuel, Elijah Moore, Marvin Jones. So I like the receivers, a lot of mix of upside speed guys, lots of potential there. Then Troutman and Tanyan at tight end. One guy more touchdown ceiling, the other guy hopefully more of a volume ceiling. So I kind of like the mix and match from that perspective. Feeling pretty good right now. Need to solidify, I think, that running back room, but I don't know. See, this is the problem, Derek. I need you to talk me through this here because JD McKissick is there. He's available. But we just talked about how, there's no point of taking him and Gibson. Like, it's just, I do have Fitzpatrick, so it's like, do I really want to go that route?
Well, here's the other thing we have to remember with JD McKissick last year. Like, his receptions were obviously through the roof, and you can have the Alex Smith check down narrative. JD McKissick was lining up at receiver a lot because they, it was now they have Samuel and Humphreys that they can put at receiver. So, like, McKissick, there was already a report from a beat reporter from Washington saying that both Logan Thomas and JD McKissick's catches are like undoubtedly going down. So like, again, maybe it isn't true, but like all the pieces align for that to happen.
I think his receptions are going to go down because this guy, is going to be the guy who's going to come in. Now I have a lot of Washington, which is fine. If we believe that Fitzpatrick can be as good as he potentially could be in this offense, Diami Brown's going to catch probably a few deep touchdowns. That's what he does well. I believe he was over 20 yards of reception at North Carolina. There was a lot to like from Diami Brown, and I think he provides a slightly different perspective from what he does from a route running perspective. He needs to grow, but he can still get deep. If McLaurin's the kind of intermediate guy, Samuel's the shorter guy, Diami could be that deep, deep guy, and maybe I'll snag Cam Sims a little bit later to kind of complete that stack in Washington.
Adam, who you're on the clock here. Who are you looking at? I love that Diami Brown pick. I've been grabbing him late, especially when I'm talking about the Eagles and the football correlation. He's a guy that I've got a lot of exposure to.
I'm going to take James White. We had a tweet from the FTN Twitter account about some of our advanced stats, and it was first read target percentage among running backs. James White was in that top five. While they've added a bunch of pieces at receiver and tight end, like, this is still like James White was still getting decent targets with Cam Newton. And like, obviously, like if Mac Jones is under center at any time, like you might see those targets increase. So, yeah, like I don't like in these underdogs, like I really don't value Alexander Mattison and some of these backups as highly as you would in redraft, just because like you know, Madison literally needs Dalvin Cook to miss time. And even then, like, he hasn't been, like, you know, game-breaking when Dalvin Cook's been out. So I'll take James White. You know, hopefully he can continue to have that role in the passing game.
So speaking of guys that I think could be game-breaking, like, if Derrick Henry misses any time, man, I was in on Darrington Evans last year. This is early for him, but I'll go ahead and take the shot, man. Like, he's creeping up boards here. I was really, really happy when he was going in the 190s, 200s, and nobody was even talking about him. Now he's going up boards, which is fine. I think taking him here is still viable because all it takes is one injury for Derrick Henry, and I think that he could definitely do some things this year. So looking at this is a lot of the range. I mean, look, the thing we haven't discussed here so far is that, like, there are a lot of wide receivers. If you head over to the Twitter timeline and you look at what ADP's been doing over the last, like, week or two, there are a lot of wide receivers that are heading up in ADP. So when you get to these later rounds, it used to be, like, last year, I remember, like, drafting, like, T. Higgins at the very end of drafts, Chase Claypool at the very end of drafts. It's more sparse this year, people. Like, these wide receivers don't look pretty. So this is a lot of, like, in a lot of the drafts that I've been doing, which, again, I'm probably going to lean into that here because I've only got four running backs so far. There's a lot of running backs that are one injury away, but when you get this late in drafts, the wide receivers look pretty nasty. What are your thoughts on that, Jordan?
I think the problem is you got to really tell yourself, you got to really convince yourself. That's the problem with fantasy football, man. Like, we're so deep into it. We know all the players, all the rosters, all the breakdowns. I can talk myself into just about anybody. And the next player I draft, if I don't get sniped, I'm going to do just that. And I'm going to have ask guys' opinion. I don't know if you guys have talked about it. Maybe you have, maybe you haven't. But there was a running back out in Tampa Bay that could be pretty good. He might have been brought in for a reason. And what we've seen so far is a couple running backs that just haven't quite got it done through the air with a quarterback who kind of likes to dump it down to his running back. So they bring in a guy who maybe isn't great. Maybe we're not sure how he's going to be. But Giovanni Bernard could be a guy who, for certain games, catches 6, 7, 8 passes. And we know Brady likes to run those little halfback draws on the goal line to some of his pass-catching backs, catch the defense by surprise. I think there's potential for Gio in this offense. I think he was brought in for a reason in Tampa Bay.
Jordan, just let's put this out there. It's just the mustache, right? Like, that's the whole reason. It's got to be the mustache. It's got to be all that swag. Like, that. I mean, before that, were we really talking about Gio that much last year? No, but the mustache comes along, and now we're talking about he's a viable 15th round pick. To be serious, I don't disagree with the pick at all. I think that he's going to have some weeks, and honestly, like, unless you're going to be drafting a Tampa Bay runner this late, I don't have any interest in Ronald Jones and Leonard Fournette where they're going in drafts right now. Like, I just don't, man. Like, looking at them, like, I think that that backfield is going to be a damn mess. So, much like we're drawing parallels to Tom Brady here, take the cheapest back, Gio in a lot of sense, and no, Keyshawn Vaughn, he's special teamer. We ain't talking about him here. So I think Gio makes a lot of sense, depending on, you know, how you're approaching your stacks and how you're approaching your team. So you're back on the clock. Jordan, where are you going?
Amari Rodgers at wide receiver 83. There's a lot to like with Amari. Obviously, in Green Bay, there's not a whole lot of solidified options. We've seen MVS. We've seen a lot of things from Alan Lazard. But Amari Rodgers can do something a little bit different. He's a little bit more crafty. He's got kind of a running back build. People, you know, made that Randall Cobb comparison. I'm not necessarily expecting that in year one, but this late, if somehow he does become that second option, there's a lot to like with Amari Rodgers. We've seen what he dealt with Trevor Lawrence at Clemson. This season, we don't know, but I think there could be potential for him to kind of grow into that role and become that second option for Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, I mean, I don't hate that call at all. I mean, I think that MVS has had his moments. He's had his weeks and stuff. Adam, you went with your man's, since we're talking about loveless guys. Is there anything else that you haven't already said that you feel like you need to get out into the space about Kadarius Toney?
I mean, to be fair, like, in reach, like, for this year, I don't expect a ton, but, like, we've seen a lot, and especially in these underdogs, these really talented rookie receivers late in these drafts can be the difference. I mean, you mentioned T. Higgins last year. Like, you know, if this Giants offense can kind of become what it's capable of being, and who you took, Nico Collins, is actually the other receiver, the other rookie receiver I was considering. But I think, like, from offensive skill set and the offenses they're in, I think Tony has a little bit higher of a ceiling. That's why I went him.
Yeah, I don't hate that call at all, and I'm hoping I don't get timed out as I'm sitting here using the patented search bar. He already got picked! He already got picked!
Who?
All right, I'm going to go with another guy here, since we're on the clock and we're super fast.
Was it Ramondre you're looking for?
No, I was actually looking for Ty Johnson.
Okay, because I took Ramondre.
Why are you trying to hurt me, Adam? Is that the theme of
Because you took
podcast?
Mooney like four drafts ago, and it still pisses me off.
The salt is still real, man. Which, by the way, you got Justin Fields. Walk me through your team here. I haven't talked about your team recently.
Yeah, I'm actually on the clock right now with my second to last pick, so I will take... I don't even know who I like here. Man, there's not much left right now. I'll take Alan Lazard, sure. So my team, Josh Allen, Justin Fields at quarterback. My running backs are Saquon Barkley, Clyde Edwards-Helaire, Jamal Williams, James White, and Ramondre Stevenson. At receiver, Terry McLaurin, Robert Woods, Devonta Smith, Mike Williams, Darnell Mooney, Gabriel Davis, Tony, and Alan Lazard, and then Dallas Goedert and Cole Kmet at tight end. So I have that little that late bear stack that I've been getting a lot. I was able to get that. I'm excited about the upside of Barkley and Clyde, and I've had better receiver groups, but I mean, McLaurin, we know the upside. Robert Woods, the floor is there. Plus, if he gets more deep targets with Matthew Stafford, there's a lot of upside. I think there's just in general a lot of upside, right? Mike Williams, Mooney, Gabriel Davis. I do like the team. And one of the first, I think this actually is the first team I have Josh Allen. So as much as you call it the obvious pick, it really wasn't.
come on. We have to talk about the Bills and Marvin Jones in some way, form, or fashion.
Always.
On every episode. Because if not, I think people would turn the podcast off because then they would feel like we're not being on brand here. Jordan, walk me through your team here and who you're staring at with your final pick in the 18th round.
Final pick is tough. I was actually potentially looking at Zach Wilson or Jameis Winston. But it's tough for me right now. So receivers are looking pretty good. Allen Robinson, DJ Moore, Curtis Samuel, Elijah Moore, Marvin Jones, Sammy Brown, Amari Rodgers. Running backs, Jonathan Taylor, Antonio Gibson, Josh Jacobs, James Robinson, Gio Bernard. Feel okay there. But I only got Dak and Ryan Fitzpatrick, who I feel great about. Like, obviously, Dak's going to be my main guy. Fitzpatrick has a boom week, what we've seen from him. Lots of security there. But maybe just get that third guy just in case. I do think there is a lot of potential for Zach Wilson. Like, it's going to be a team that may be good, but I think they want him to kind of work through those growing pains. Like, they still took him second overall. He's probably going to throw a lot. I already have Elijah Moore, who I love. We're seeing a lot of hype about Keelan Cole, so I've kind of thought about taking him. But it's tough, man. Like, there's a lot of guys here who could be something. And for that last pick, narrowing it down is tough. But I think... Who do you like here? Like, how do you feel about Philip Lindsay? Because he's a guy I've thought about, you know, last pick. He could be pretty decent.
For me, personally, with your build, 7 wide receiver, I'd probably be leaning wide receiver. I don't hate the Lindsay pick. Like, somebody's got to get rushing equity out of that backfield. I think out of anybody, I'd probably be leaning a wide receiver. But if you want to go Lindsay, I'm not going to push back too hard on that.
All right. So I took DPJ, Donovan Peoples-Jones, out of Cleveland. So we've seen the upside out of him last year. And so I think when you talk about them just expanding that offense further, I think they learned their lesson with OBJ. They can't just force feed him targets. I don't think he's going to get injured again, but I think they do need to spread the ball around more. And DPJ could be a guy who's a benefit of that, of, you know, Baker Mayfield just spreading the ball around a lot more.
He might win that wide receiver 3 job in camp right now. And like, Odell's missed time. Landry's getting up there in age. I mean, this obviously isn't dynasty, but like in dynasty, I like DPJ as a player. So like, yeah, last pick of your draft, if things kind of break right, he's obviously not going to do much of anything if Odell and Landry are there, especially in a low passing volume offense. But like, we saw when players got hurt last year, he filled a huge role for them. So.
Yeah, I mean, I like DPJ. I think that there's definitely a possibility here for him to garner some ceiling weeks, especially if it depends, like, you're talking about, is OBJ how good he used to be? Like, or is he going to reassume that former talent? I mean, it's up in the air, man. So looking at all of these different teams... with my squad, I mean, obviously I had the second pick, Dalvin Cook. Then I kind of leaned into wide receivers, got my stacks and Russell and Trey Lance. Leaned into this team more with some stacks than I usually do. Especially, I mean, really, this is making a bet that Trey Lance starts and he starts early. Then kind of filling it around there, Rondell Moore, Tre'Quan Smith, again, Gerald Everett leaning into Seattle. And then really, it was just upsides. Like, I mean, one injury away types that could be massively awesome this year, like whether it's Kenyon Drake, Darrington Evans, Chuba Hubbard. I mean, I don't think anybody's going to. Mike Davis is gone. Who's going to fight him for carries if anything happens to CMC? Nico Collins, again, doing more of these drafts, and whether you could call it, like, I'm in my zen, or I'm just going full galaxy brain and looking at some of these correlations between weeks 15 and 17. San Francisco gets Houston towards the playoffs and stuff, so does that correlation kind of put me over the top? Again, you're looking at these large field tournaments. It's something that you do need to consider. And then Joshua Kelly being my last pick, I want to talk about here for a second. Justin Jackson, if he doesn't make this team, Austin Eckler is not going to be a 20 carry per week running back. There is going to be another guy that emerges from this backfield and is going to give us some usable weeks, even with Austin Eckler there. And then, I'm sorry, like, I hate to disappoint people, but the Chargers version of Elijah Holyfield and Larry Roundtree, he ain't it. The guy that, no, it's not going to be him. So I'm willing to shoot the shot on Joshua Kelly this late. Jay Rich, walk us through your team one more time, my friend.
So I got Dak Prescott and Ryan Fitzpatrick at quarterback. Feel good about that. Dak obviously is the main guy. Ryan Fitzpatrick to kind of give me those boom weeks. I got Jonathan Taylor, Antonio Gibson, Josh Jacobs, James Robinson, Gio Bernard at running back. Probably a little lighter running back than I would have liked, but happy with it so far. Then I got Allen Robinson, DJ Moore, Curtis Samuel, Elijah Moore, Marvin Jones, Dyami Brown, Amari Rodgers, and Donovan Peoples-Jones at wide receiver. I think for me, when it comes down to it, and like I think, Adam, you touched on it, these rookie wide receivers can be the best values in drafts, period. Whether you're talking about redraft, dynasty, doesn't matter. Those are the guys that if they hit, like if Terry McLaurin goes down, I have Dyami Brown, he's probably going to start outside and be peppered with targets. Amari Rodgers could be the wide receiver too. Again, this is like super late we're talking about. I got to pick 184. And if he gets 80 targets this season, that's a win. DPJ, same thing. We saw him step up in that Cleveland offense last year. Then I look tight end, Adam Trautman for kind of the volume play, Robert Tonyan for the high upside with the touchdowns. And then I took Ebron really late. I don't even think we even talked about it. But Ebron actually saw, I believe, over 70 targets last year in this Pittsburgh offense. Everyone kind of wants to write him off because of Pat Freiermuth. But I don't think it's going to be a year one thing for Pat. I think Ebron still will have a role. And in that offense that, where they throw a ton, I think he's going to be just fine.
Yeah, I mean, I think that considering he's going 17th, 18th round, I think he's definitely viable. I like him. I think he's more viable in Pittsburgh stacks, but I don't hate the pick. Adam, walk us through your team one more time, my friend, and tell me why you love Ramondre Stevenson.
Yeah, like I said, I have the two best quarterbacks in the NFL, and Josh Allen and Justin Fields, so that's already a great start. But then I have Saquon Barkley, Clyde Edwards-Helaire, Jamal Williams, James White, and Ramondre Stevenson, who, look, I know you've kind of talked me into him a lot more, too. And we talked about this with John Daigle a few weeks ago. Like, I'm going into these drafts assuming that Sony Michel is getting cut because I think it's a very good possibility. If that's the case, yes, we're getting reports that Damian Harris is the unquestioned number one running back right now. That's fine. It's also the Patriots. And how many times in fantasy over the last however many years have we just said, okay, whoever the Patriots running back is that's being drafted the latest in fantasy, just draft that guy. And that's Ramondre Stevenson right now. They've kind of comped him as like a combination of LeGarrette Blount and Rex Burkhead. And both those players in the roles they had were really good in fantasy at times for the Patriots. So I like the upside there. You know, I took him a little bit ahead of ADP, but still at 174. And then at receiver, I have Terry McLaurin, Robert Woods, Devonta Smith, Mike Williams, Darnell Mooney, Gabriel Davis, Kadarius Toney, Alan Lazard, and my last pick was Travis Fulgham just because, I mean, look, I don't understand why he didn't play last year down the stretch after what he did when he did play in the first half and was really productive. But if that goes back to, you know, what he was playing the first half, he could be a real steal at the last pick of your draft. And then I also have Dallas Goedert and Cole Kmet at tight end. Again, Goddard at pick 102. His ADP is 86. So, like, that is an insane value to me. And then Cole Kmet, I like to, you know, get as my second tight end, sometimes even my first tight end if I miss out on the top seven or eight tight ends. Pairing him with Darnell Mooney and Justin Fields in that stack is something I like to do a lot, and I was able to do it here.
Any other teams that kind of stick out to you, Jay Rich, that we need to dive into?
Not really. I really liked what Dave did at 110, you know, right behind me. I found he was always taking guys I was looking at, especially when we were coming back around. I really liked what he put together. His team was super on brand too. Like, I follow him on Twitter and know a lot of his guys. So I really liked his team. And D-Bro, honestly, I liked what you did with your roster. You're like, you know, you're doing this a lot. You're in the drafts. You know, you told me how many you did. I'm not going to throw that out there into the universe, but you grinded, you know, you've been in here for a minute. So I like what you did, though. I think you're going to be just fine.
I got to throw it out there, man. I like what Metz and Quisenberg did with their teams.
He's going to take two L's in one day, right, Adam?
Yeah, I hope Milwaukee loses now just because he sniped me like four times.
But then man he, in the coffin and he can't even
And he actually was rooting for you too, Metz. Adam was telling me pre-show he's rooting for the Bucks, but what you did today, see, you changed his mind. Yeah. You can't be doing that.
Oh, man. I like both of their teams. Quisenberg getting Kelsey, Mahomes. I want to say, if I'm not incorrect here, he did get Mecole later.
Yeah, and DeMarcus Robinson.
And DeMarcus. So, getting some cheaper Chiefs there. I like that. And then Matt's going with Zeke and Najee. If you're going to pay up for the two running backs, makes a lot of sense that you're going to fill in the rest of your squad around that. So then going Amari, Cooper Kupp, and then he got Deontay Johnson. Sorry, Adam, not sorry. Deebo Samuel, and then he went Juju. Then getting Stafford, man. There's a lot of picks walking through his team that I really like. And then I'm going to give Jordan a shout-out here, man. Going with Tua and then Bateman, and I know he has Lamar Jackson up in this team. I wrote up Baltimore yesterday for FTN Fantasy and what their team could look at like this year. I know that everybody gets tired of me talking about Baltimore and the fact that I'm not going to say that you're sleeping on Lamar Jackson, but the possibilities for this passing attack this year, you need to go read up, you need to go check out that article, because they could definitely surprise people for how good and what they could possibly do this year. I know it's Greg Roman. I know it's history. I'm not saying they're going to be top 10 in passing. Check it out. Hit me up on Twitter and tell me what you think, man, because what I found was really, really interesting. Before we get up out of here, Jay Rich, again, tell the good people where they can follow you on Twitter and what you got working on right now.
I'm not working on much, but I want to give you guys a shout out, man. You guys do a great job with your pod. Derek, obviously, you write a ton of articles. Adam, you write even more than I would ever write in my entire life. So honestly, thank you guys so much for having me on the show. You can follow me on Twitter at your boy J Rich. That's where you'll find all my stuff. But make sure you guys check out these guys' articles, man. They're grinding. They're putting in the work every day. Subscribe to the podcast, rate and review it. Do all that good stuff because these guys deserve it. They deserve all the exposure in the world. And I just can't thank them enough for having me on the show.
No, it was a blast, man. We got to get you back on in season, dive through more DFS and all these types of things. Adam has been crushing it with his ADP series, man. What was the one that just dropped the other day? And what do you have, I guess, in the gauntlet to come in the next few days to weeks?
Yeah, so today, if you're listening, it is, what, Wednesday, July 14th. Today was Tannehill and Brady. That was a good one. Definitely it's just fun to break down the differences between a lot of these players being ranked closely. Earlier in the week, there was Terry McLaurin and CeeDee Lamb. There was Jonathan Taylor and Nick Chubb. And then last week, I believe it was Cam Akers and Joe Mixon. And then to end the week, I have, I think, one of the more popular ones that people have to make in terms of decisions is Mark Andrews and TJ Hockenson. And then I believe Thursday or Friday will be Clyde Edwards-Helaire and DeAndre Swift. So a battle of two second-year running backs with obvious upside and some concerns, but it's been fun. And again, using the six stats we have on the site just makes writing these articles even more fun. So I appreciate it. Appreciate Jordan coming on. Been trying to get him on for a while. Just dude's always helped me out no matter what time of day, no matter how many times I ask him a question, always able to help me out and answer. So I appreciate that. And I was really thrilled to have him on. It was a fun time.
Yeah, Jordan's awesome, man. Fantastic content. Dude's one of the best in the business at all the things that he does. Adam and I are going to be back later this week. Get you ready for week one. Get you ready for all things fantasy. Fade the chalk. We're out of here. Peace, everybody. Have a good day.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of Fade the Chalk with Derek and Adam. Make sure to follow your hosts and the podcast on Twitter at @DBRO_FFB, at @APPfeiffer24, and at @ChalkFade. Smash that subscribe button so you don't miss an episode.